So in the 11th chapter, which is the Vishwarup Darshan Yoga, seeing the cosmic form of the Lord, the chapter started with the student's question, because in the 10th chapter, the teacher had told him that I am in everything. Among the birds, I am the eagle. Among the animals, I am the lion. Among people, I am the king, the president. So whatever you see best and the most glorious, I am. So the student says, okay, I see that you are in everything. You know, you are in the forest, you are in the mountains, you are in the people, you are in the animals, birds and fish. But I've also heard in the Upanishads, it said that everything is in you. You as the cosmic form, the universal Brahman, you pervade everything and everything is contained in you. And that I have not seen. I have only seen where you told me you are in everything. Can I see everything in you? So a loving question asked by the student, the teacher, out of compassion and love, the Krishna, the teacher, then shows him the cosmic form, which you can see here, which is beautifully shown by the artist, where we see Krishna and Arjuna in the chariot in the bottom. And then Krishna is showing him his divine form, the cosmic form, the Virat Roop, where you see the entire universe. Of course, here they have shown only portions, but all the gods and goddesses, Brahmaji the creator, all the weapons, all the hands, all the heads. That means all heads are mine, all hands are mine, everything is him. So the student is given a divine vision, Divya Drishti. And with that divine vision, he is able to see the entire universe in the Lord. And you and I, obviously, we don't have that. And that's why we see differences. We focus on the individuals. We don't look at the Lord that is behind, that is supporting, that is the essence of every one of us. And even in us, ourselves, we forget. And I'm so identified with this, my body, mind and intellect, that I am this body. And then I see the whole universe just as objects, emotions and thoughts. And people. And then so becoming a perceiver, feeler and thinker, the ego, I see the world separated as different objects, different emotions, different thoughts. And we forget that there is one consciousness that is supporting this whole universe. You can call it God, you can call it Brahman, call it Allah, call it Father in heaven. And not knowing that, that is when we have problems with ourselves and with others. When I don't know that I am that consciousness and I identify with the body, then when the body suffers, I suffer. When somebody insults me, my intellect is hurt, then I get hurt. When there are some joys and sorrows, I feel happy and unhappy. But if I realize that I am that consciousness, and I'm using the body, mind and intellect just as I'm using a car, then if something happens to the body, okay, I go and take care of it, but I do not get myself internally disturbed. If somebody insults me or somebody doesn't talk to me lovingly, yeah, I may feel bad a little bit, but I do not have the internal disturbance. That's the qualities of a saint, where internally they are totally calm. They are like the bottom of the ocean. You know, the bottom of the ocean is so calm and peaceful. On the surface, you'll see different waves happening because of the wind and because of the moon and the tides. But in the depth, the ocean is calm. And that is the state of the saint, that inside the person is calm and peaceful and serene. Not only that, once I see everything as that consciousness, then I develop spontaneous love for all, that I am, all of them are me, me and me alone. I'm not separate from them. I'm not separate from the plants, the birds, the fish. So that is the beauty of this. You know, otherwise I used to think, yaar mein adhyay mein kya hai? There's nothing much in the 11th chapter. You see the form of the Lord, okay, finish it, ho gaya. But then when you meet a teacher like Swami Chinmayananda and read the commentary, I know a lot of you have that, those green books, and then you go into the detail, you realize that every line, every word, every verse has so much meaning, so much we can learn from. I honestly thought that I'll finish the 11th chapter in a month or two. I said, I'm starting by October, it'll be done. But as I go into it, I realize there is so much we can learn. So it just keeps extending, which is good. You know, we are not in any rush. We have many lifetimes to realize. So we'll, if not this life, next life. So anyway, so this is just in brief. So then having seen the form of the Lord, Arjuna goes through different emotions. First, it is wonderment, ashcharyavat. He says, oh my God, it's so beautiful. All hands are yours, all feet are yours. I see all the gods in heaven. I see even the demons and the snakes and even the bodies in hell. Everything is in you. I see the past, present and future. And his eyes are wonderstruck. Oh, you know, his eyes are just open and his mouth just opens up and he just doesn't know what to say. And then slowly that wonder is replaced with fear, because, you know, the war is coming up. And in that war, he sees that thousands of people are going to die, because he not only sees the past and present, he sees the future. And he sees so many people are going to die in that war. And in that divine form, he sees the big mouth of that divine cosmic form. And in that mouth, he sees all people going into it, like in a line, you know, just as a line of people, and there is a fire burning and people are just being burnt and people are being destroyed. And he says, oh my God, this is the form. And the Lord tells him, he says, I am time. Everything arises from me. Everything merges back into me. Nothing is permanent. And so that wonderment is replaced by fear. And then suddenly it is, he wakes up and he says, wait a minute, you know, I am so fortunate. There are very few people ever who have seen this form. And later on, that Krishna tells him that very few people have seen this divine form of mine. Even the gods in heaven, they thirst to see this form. And so he gets filled with love, with devotion, with surrender. And he just lovingly surrenders and says, oh my Lord, I am so fortunate to have seen this. And so from verse number 36 to 44, as I had mentioned before, he praises the Lord. It's called the stuti. And Swami Chinmayananda says in his commentary that nowhere in the Hindu literature there is such a beautiful prayer. Not even that, but even in the Semitic literature, you won't find such a compact praise and prayer of the Lord. So this is very beautiful. And we are in the middle of that. We had last week done 38 and 39, where he says that you are the ancient Purusha and you are the support of this whole universe. And you are that which is to be known and that which is the knower. So the knower and known you are, and you are pervading this entire universe. He says that in 38, and in 39 he says all the deities at that time that they, this was the ancient times where they worshipped Vayu, you know, the god of the wind, and Yama, the god of death, and Agni, the god of fire, Varuna, the god of the ocean, moon, stars. So he says, all of them, you are the creator. You have created everything. Even the creator, Brahmaji, as we see Brahmaji here, even the creator you have created. So it is that Brahman, that all-pervading consciousness, from whom emerged the creator, and the universe then started. That's how the universe began. So he says, I prostrate to you again and again. Again and again he bows down, because he, that's all he can do in his, because his speech is so, it's just filled with that, you know, that joy and that surrender, and his hair are standing on end. So we'll continue the Arjuna's prayer, Arjuna's stuti, or Arjuna's glorification of the Lord. We'll do verse number 40.
Namah purastadath prishtataste. Namostute sarvata eva sarva. Anantavirya vikramastvam. Sarvam samapno shitato si sarvaha.
So namah, namah means I prostrate, I bow down. Where? Purastadatha prishtataste. I bow down to the front and I bow down to the back. That means you are in front of me, you are behind me. Namo tute, and namo tute, to you namah, prostration, who? Sarvata eva sarva. Sarvata, everywhere you are. So you are in front of me, you are behind me, you are on this side of me, you are on that side of me, you are above, you are below. There is nowhere where you are not. So I just bow down to you who is everywhere. Ananta Virya. Ananta Virya means, Ananta means endless. Virya means power. Endless power you have. So much power. We'll talk about that. Amita Vikram. And Amita. Amita means immeasurable, unending. Vikram. Vikram means prowess. Vikram means the efficiency, the ability to work. Everything is you. All the power is you. All the efficiency is you. Sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarva. And sarvam, sarvam, everything samapnoshi. Everything is in you. And tatasit, and you pervade everything. So you are outside everything and inside everything. Another place in the Upanishad it says, antar bahishcha tat sarvam vyapta narayana tishthati. So Lord is within and without. Everything is the Lord, inside me, outside me. So everything is the Lord as the consciousness, and you are sarva, you are everything. So when he bows down, when we talk about bowing down, or when we talk about prostration, or when we say I surrender to the Lord, who is this Lord? And we say, okay, Lord is, you know, Krishna, or he is Jesus, or he is Buddha, or he is Hanumanji, or he is Shiva. Yes. And that we do very good. You know, we go to the temple and we bow down, and we go to the church and light a candle, or we, you know, and we, as a Muslim, I do namaz 5 times a day facing Makkah. All that is very good. But then we forget that who really is the Lord? Who is he, and what is he? What does he represent? Bowing down only does not mean that you just surrender to the Lord, but then you also have to serve, because part of love is service. You know, if I love somebody, then I have to help them. I have to do everything I can to serve them. And it could be an individual, could be a spouse, could be a child, could be a neighbor or a friend. So what is the Lord's nature, and whom should I love, or whom should I surrender to? So Raman Maharishi says it very beautifully in Upadesh Sar. I think some of you in the Tuesday class did it. He says, Jagat Ishadhi Yukta Sevanam Ashtamurti Brit Deva Pujanam. He says, Deva Pujanam. What is puja? What is puja? What is prayer? And what is the nature of the Lord? He says, the Lord is Ashtamurti Brit. It consists of 8 forms. God has 8 forms. So what are the 8 forms of the Lord? So they say 8 forms of the Lord are the 5 elements, air, space, fire, water, earth. So the body consists of the 5 elements, air, space, fire, water, earth, the mind, the intellect, and the ego, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. So in me, the God consists of the 5 elements, making the body, my mind, my intellect, and the ego. And in the total, how about the totality? So they say, in the totality, there are 8 forms of the Lord, or 8 limbs of the Lord, and they represent air, space, fire, water, earth, which is all the beings of the world. All the beings, whether they are plants or animals or bird or fish or humans, they are all made of 5 elements, which is the body. And so the total body of the universe, of all the bodies put together, all the bodies is called Virat. So the Virat is the total body. That's why even in Purush Suktam, we just did that, Swamiji covered it so beautifully last week, those who heard. He says, Tasmad Virat Ajayata Virajo Adipurushaha Sajato Atya Richyata Paschat Bhumi Matopuraha. So he says, from this cosmic Purush, from this Brahman, the consciousness, came Virat. So Virat is the total body. So we are all connected. We are all part of that total body, which is called Virat. We are connected to the plants, the animals, because we are all made of the same 5 elements, air, space, fire, water, earth. So the total bodies of all the universe, not only here, but even any other planets, even in the heavens, even, the, you know, they have a more subtle body. The gods in heavens don't have body like you and me, but all bodies are called Virat. Now, what about all the minds? We said, remember, he has 8 limbs. So the mind and intellect. So the total mind and intellect of all the beings, even plants have a mind. You say, well, plants, what kind of intelligence? Yeah, they do have. They know as intelligence that I have to grow towards light and grow away from darkness. If there is light in one corner of the room, the plant will grow in that direction. And the plant also has emotions. I'm sure Hansa can tell us. When you talk to a plant with love and they did studies where the certain plants were played, good music was played and they were talked to with love and those plants grew better. And in the other room, the plants were bombarded with rock music and, you know, treated badly. And there was a difference in the growth. So even plants respond to love and affection and all. So that's what they say, that all the minds and intellects of all the beings, all the plants, all the birds, all the dogs, you know, they respond to love. Humans, of course. So all the mind and intellect of all the universal beings is called Hiranyagarbha or the golden womb. So Hiranyagarbha, these are all technical terms. It's good to know them. That what that does is shows you that all the minds and intellects are connected. And we are connected. That's why people sitting here, sometimes they can get a premonition, you know, what's happening in the next room or like a mother, you know, something is happening to her child and he may be in the next country or the next state, but she gets a premonition, you know, something is wrong with my child. My child is not well. And then immediately she gets a phone call. So her mind is in touch with that cosmic mind. And especially people who are spiritually advanced, you know, saints, and they actually can predict the future. They know what is happening. So that is called intuition. So the total bodies are called Virat. The total mind and intellect are called Hiranyagarbha. And the total creative force are the vasanas, because it is the vasanas that decide what I am going to do. Vasanas decide what I am going to think and then what I am going to do. So the vasanas are said to be the creative force. And it is because of my vasanas that I am where I am today. You know, the kind of parents I took birth, the kind of country I was born in. Then from India, I came to the States and then somehow ended up in Bakersfield. So I must have had certain vasanas. I must have had a vasana to speak. So these vasanas is called the causal body, which makes me do what I do. So the sum total of all the vasanas of all the beings, plants, animals, is called Ishvara. So the consciousness working through Maya, the creative force, is called Ishvara. Working through all the minds and intellects is called Hiranyagarbha. And working through the bodies is called Virat. So when he says Ashtamurti Bhrit Deva Pujanam, so how do I worship the Lord? So he says Jagat Ishadhi Yukta Sevanam. You serve the world as if you are serving the Lord. Ishadhi Yukta. Think this world to be the Lord. Everything I see is the Lord. Everybody I see is the Lord. So when I serve the world, not with an attitude of arrogance or pride, but that I am serving the people in the world as the manifestation of the Lord who is my creator, who has given me everything. If I can share a little bit with others, that is my service. So that is called. So when he says that I bow down to you, O Lord, so when I go to the temple or church, I bow down. That is very good. But then I cannot come out and then insult others. I cannot come and hit others. I cannot come and be mean to others. So that is the meaning of namah. That is the meaning of prostration. And then he says, sarvata eva sarva. You are everything. Now, Swami Chinmayananda in his talk gives a very beautiful meaning of sarva, everything. Because God is worshipped as Sarveshwara. You know, there's one of Shiva's names, Om Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishveshwaraya. And then he says, Sarveshwaraya. You are the Lord of everything. So Swamiji says that is good, but actually he is Sarva. He's not even Sarveshwara, because I can be only Lord of something I possess, right? Okay, I say I own my car, so I'm the Lord of the car. Or I own my house, so I'm the Lord of the house. Or I own my jewelry or my bank account or my... But I can be only Lord of something I am not. Like I'm not the car, so I say, okay, I'm the Lord of the car. I'm the owner of the car or my house or my bank account or my jewelry. But if I am everything, there is nothing for me to be a lord of. Right? If, like, I cannot say I am lord of my body because I am the body. Everything is me. So when the Ishwara, the Lord, is everything, then there is nothing of for him to be a lord of because he is everything. So that's why he says you are Sarva. You are not Sarveshwara. But you are everything. Every word has so much meaning. You can talk so much about it. That when you are everything, then there is nothing beside you. So you are not the Lord of everything. You are everything. Ananta Veer. And then he says, Ananta Veerya Mita Vikram Astvam. And all the power in the world is you. All the efficiency, the productivity in the world is you. When, you know, when we see the, you know, electricity producing things in the factories, where does the electricity come from? You can say, well, it comes from the power plant. But where did the energy come from? That the water, when it runs downhill, it produces electricity. That, Lord, we did not create. So all the productivity, what, and even not only in the world, but anything I produce, anything I do, any power I have, any talent I have, if I have an ability to sing, or if I have an ability to paint, or if I have an ability to, you know, or if I'm taking care of patients, or if I'm teaching a class, or whatever I am doing, all power, all efficiency comes from that one alone. And that is, so what that does is it gives you humility. Then you don't feel that, oh, I am somebody special. Like Barbara is teaching a yoga class. She could say, you know, I'm such a great yoga teacher. All these people come and learn from me. Or she could say, I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity to share this talent which I have. So the attitude, the teaching being the same, it is the attitude that makes it a prayer, or it makes it an egocentric activity. So constantly one has to remember that. And sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarva. And everything is you, and everywhere you are, and service is the best way to know the Lord, the best way to reach him. Talking about service, you know, people say, how should I serve? So they say there are many ways, you know, whatever abilities you have. Like I said, if you have an ability to teach, or if you have an ability to organize, you can organize, or if you have an ability to, or if nothing else, you have time, just go and sit with somebody. Somebody's grieving, or somebody's hurt, or somebody's in a nursing home or in a hospital. You can share time. If you have the financial resources, you can help financially. Somebody needs help. Swamiji just talked to us in the last week about danam, about charity. You know, how charity can be done to the right place, at the right time, to the right person. You can help, you know, with labor, like now Carter, when he used to build those homes, Habitat for Humanity, you can go out and build a home. So whatever your abilities are, you can help. Talking about helping financially, Swamiji told us a beautiful joke. I thought it's worth repeating. Most of you didn't attend. It was really beautiful. He says, when the currency was created, they made $1 bill, $20 and $50 and $100 bills, and they were sent out in the world to do their job. And then after a few months, the currencies all met, the 100 and the 50 and the 20 and the 1. And they said, how has life been with you? So the $100 says, I have been so busy. I've been going from one casino to another casino, from Las Vegas to, you know, Reno, and I have been very busy, $100 bill. So that's the $50. What have you been doing? I've been going to all the big hotels and the restaurants, you know, the fancy restaurants and the good hotels, and I have been very busy there. There's a $20 bill. What have you been doing? $20 says, my life has been miserable. You say, why? He says, I've been locked up in the ATM machines. You know, in the ATM, you get $20 bills. He says, I am suffocated. I'm glad to be out of there. So they ask the $1 bill, what have you been doing? He said, I have been busier than all of you. He says, what have you been doing? He says, I've been going from church to church and temple to temple. I'm always there. That's what we do, right? When we go to the church, $1. Ah, I did my charity. So, so he says that you are everywhere. So, sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarva. And I prostrate to you again and again because you are everything. Whatever I see, you are. And whatever abilities I have, you are. It's a beautiful verse. Like, any comments? Prostrate means you bow down. That means it shows your humility. See, that's why when we come, like in the church, also you get down on your knees. Or when we come in front of the Krishna, what we do is we get down on our knees and bow down. Or when we meet Swamiji, you know, we again bow down. So it's not that you are bowing down to that body of the Swamiji, but to that knowledge. And the Lord represents, He's all powerful. So by surrendering, you are expressing your humility, and knowledge can only flow from higher to lower. If I'm sitting in front of a teacher and I say, let me see how much he knows. I know it. I'm just here to test him. Then I'm never going to learn. Or if my head is so full of knowledge acquired from everywhere, and then there is no place. But if I go to the teacher with an empty slate and say, okay, teacher, my slate is empty, you write on it. Or my mind is empty, fill it with knowledge, then the knowledge will flow. And so prostrate or bowing down suggests humility. Oh Lord, you are all powerful. I am nobody. Whatever I have is you. So that is how. That is why we always bow down to somebody whom, either a teacher or the Lord. It's an expression of humility, expression of gratitude, expression of thanks. In all the religions, the Muslims also bow down, you know, they bow down, the Christians get down on their knees. So it's all a reflection of that, that there is a higher power to whom I prostrate.
So that we may rise above ourselves.
That's why I recommend everybody should have this book and should read it. That's why I say before you come to the class, read the verses we are going to do, or after you go from the class, go back and read it, because no matter how much I say it, but the way Swamiji puts it, his commentary is so perfect. And also he gives a word-by-word meaning. So then the knowledge becomes more firm because you have heard it and then you again go back and read it. So that's why reading the book is very important. Thank you. Yeah, that's very nice.
It's a little story. I mean, it's a story I saw somewhere. We have this program, musical program, where there's a competition, and this boy sang so well that everybody wanted to give him 10 out of 10. Now the last teacher asked him, what do you want? I'll give you anything what you want. And he says, you just give me the number. So he said 9. Now if you look at the thing, when he says 9, he's little, you know, he knows he's done well. But if you say 9, then there is a chance of improvement to that 10. So in other words, when you show that humility, you know that you are here to improve yourself a little bit more than what I am. So that boy was really good. Everybody gave him 10. But when he was asked, what do you want, he said 9. Mm-hmm. He didn't say 10. He could have said 10. He would show his kind of ego or arrogance, actually. So 9, when I heard his answer, I was so proud of him. Because that means there is one little chance of improving more than what he did. And we should always try to improve more than what we are. One step further. That's a humility. That's frustration. I mean, physically you show frustration is different. But, you know, you need to understand that when you frustrate, you're really telling that I need to learn, I need to better learn.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Anything else? No, actually the sum total of all the vasanas in the world is called Maya. Maya is the creative force of the Lord, which is the sum total of all the vasanas. Ishvara is that consciousness identified with the Maya. Working through that Maya, that consciousness is called Ishvara. So like in the total body, it's called Virata. In the mind and intellect, it's called Hiranyagarbha. The consciousness functioning through Maya, which is the sum total of all the vasanas, is called Ishvara. So Ishvara is also nothing but Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, the creator and the sustainer and the destroyer. The sum total of all three is called Ishvara. So when you add up all the three, the creator, the sustainer and the destroyer together, they are called Ishvara, which is the force that is responsible for creation and dissolution of this universe. And it works through the total vasanas, which is called Maya, which is the deluding power. Because in me, my vasanas delude me and hide the consciousness from me. Even though I am the nature of consciousness, It is because of my vasanas, which is also called ignorance. I don't see the world as Atman. I don't see myself as Atman. I see myself as BMI. Then I get lost in the PFT, in the OET. So it is the vasanas that is the ignorance of my true nature that hides the consciousness. So the total ignorance is called Maya. That is the Lord's creative force, and it's also the force with which He hides behind His creation. He says, having created, He then hid. So that is Ishvara.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Hari Om.